Blog Talk Radio.
Because you're relying on me, shall break every chain. The conquering lion shall break every chain. Give him the victory. Again and again, again and again, give him the victory. Oh, the conquering lion shall break every chain. The conquering lion.
Welcome back to the list. Let's see. GD, you on with me?
Yes, sir.
All right. We got a lot of other people on with us. Y'all want to get in, press one later on during the program when GD opened up the program. Okay, GD, I'll turn it over to you.
All right, Brother Drew. Thank you, as always, for all that you do. Hello to the listeners. Again, I'm the co-host of the show, Brother G.G. Woods. You're listening to The List. And this evening's show is entitled Eat to Live. Now, and basically, let me give you a rundown of the show, which the concept of the show is if you could tell your young self, if you had a chance to tell your young self some advice based on everything you have experienced up to present day, in that moment, what advice would you give your younger self? And that was the concept of the show. And we put together, the goal of the show is to put together a list of advice based on that question. And that list will be utilized to, it'll be given to the youngsters to arm them with knowledge to help them in their decision-making going forward into the future. And again, my guarantee is that if we create this list and we arm the young minds with this knowledge, that we will change lives forever. So that's the goal of the show. Now, today I want to start off with a follow-up from last month, and I'm not going to go too deep into it. I just want to make sure I touch on it, because I talked about the need for us as a people to have our own news outlet that we could turn to for our news, you know, news that we consider the, you know, that we want it followed, and not news that you just hear about it one moment, it's brushed up under the table and on to the next story, and you never know what, you know, happened in detail with these stories. Last month I broke a story about a murder that happened at DFW Airport. Now, it was swept up under the table. No one that I have spoken with to this present moment can point me to any media outlet that covered that story, or any media outlet, be it television, radio, or internet. But I did a little independent research, and in fact, the individual who committed that crime was charged with capital murder. And I want to briefly give the definition of capital murder to support exactly what I'm saying, that this was a crime, this was a violent crime covered up. See, capital murder, according to the Penal Code, I believe this is from the Penal Code, Chapter 9, if I'm not mistaken. It says capital murder is murder. No, that's not it. That may be punishable by death. Hold on, give me just 1 second. Okay, here it is. From the Texas Penal Code, it says capital murder is something that is intentionally or knowingly causes death of an individual. And that individual intends to cause serious bodily injury and commits an act clearly dangerous to life that causes death of an individual. So if this person was charged with capital murder, what they're saying is that he clearly had intent, or they believe that he clearly had intent, and these things were intentional. This isn't a workplace accident, which it may be, you know, covered up as being a workplace accident. But the individual in this so-called accident was charged with capital murder, which is an intentional act of violence. And again, it should have been reported, like I said, at the time of the crime, or the scene of the crime, there were upwards of 20, 30 units there, but no media coverage. And there's been no media coverage since. So, yeah, we need there's a definite need for a media outlet of our own that we can go to report the news. And another footnote on it was two brothers. It was brother on brother, which, anyway, it should have been reported. So for us, we definitely need to know who they were. Here you got brother murdering a brother, somebody's son, you know, uncle, brother, whatnot, friend, you know, has fallen victim. Someone else is guilty of committing these crimes. And that affects us because it affects people in our community who we may indirectly or directly know. Okay, so that was about what we talked about last week, that incident at DFW. But the topic today, let me get my glasses out, Brother Drew, because my vision ain't what it used to be. Okay, give me just a second here, because I want to get into what I have to discuss today, which, okay, the topic, Eat to Live, and the point that I want to stress is we need to be mindful of whose hand we are allowing to feed us as a people. Now, with that said, there's a video that I wanted to let you listen to, let the listening audience hear. And I hope this video is loud enough, or this audio is loud enough, that the listeners will be able to hear this clearly, Brother Drew. So since we do live, you know, we don't have time to do the mic checks and whatnot, I'm gonna do a little mic check just to see that the audio is coming through clearly enough, and then we'll play the video in its entirety.
Okay.
So give me just a second to pull this up. I mean, I get a lot of information sent to me, which is, I'm pretty sure, small in comparison to the amount of information that you yourself receive. So you understand that sometimes these things take just a little while to get to. So let me see if I got it here. Okay. This is the audio. So let's see if you can hear this okay, Brother Drew. Let me know.
Starts in the colonies of what would become the United States. Let's remember, during the colonial period, mid-1600s, there was no such thing as white people. I know some people who are now called white find that shocking. Because they think whiteness is real. But whiteness was created. Europeans didn't call themselves white. We didn't call ourselves white. We weren't all members of one big happy family. Are you kidding? Have you studied the history of Europe? The history of Europe was about killing each other. That's what we did in Europe. We just killed each other before we figured out there were other people to kill. We just killed each other. Right? I mean, that was the history of Europe. The English hated the Irish. Right? Northern Italians didn't even think that Southern Italians were Italians. The Germans hated everybody, and everybody hated their ass right back, right? There was no team called white, no race called white, but all of a sudden, in the middle of the 1600s, there was. Why? Why was it suddenly necessary to create this thing called the white race? Well, because rich people can count, that's why. And so rich folks looked around, the ones that owned all the land, you know, in the colonies, the colonial elite, looked around and they realized something, that they were heavily outnumbered by African enslaved folks, by European indentured servants, who were just one level above a slave, or other Europeans who weren't technically indentured servants, but they were still peasants, didn't have any money, didn't have any land, and they could do the math. They added it up, and they were like, damn, we got to figure out a way to split these folks apart from one another, or they're going to rise up and take our stuff, right? Because after a while, these black folks who were enslaved Africans and these quote-unquote white folks who were poor Europeans are going to figure out they're all getting played by these rich people. Right? So ultimately, the rich figure out they got to come up with some way to get somebody in that group on their team. The easiest thing. some of the customs and the culture. So they all of a sudden create this thing called whiteness, and they say, now you're part of the club. Now we're going to let you testify in court, enter into contracts, vote, at least if you're a man, own a little bit of land, at least if you're a man, right? And we're going to get rid of indentured servitude, no more of that, because you're too good for that. And we're going to take the white men, now called white men, and put them on the slave patrol to keep black people in line. Give them a horse and a gun and a badge, make them feel big and powerful, right? They're still poor. They still don't have anything. They didn't pay the slave patrol well, right? Just exploited them, used them as a buffer between the elite and the other poor folks, particularly poor folks of color. And pretty soon the rebellions that occasionally happened where black and white got together to overthrow the elite, those stopped because the divide and conquer had begun to work, right? You could turn people against each other by telling those poor white folks they got to keep these black people in line. And so that divide and conquer gets initiated in the colonies, rich white men telling not rich white people that their enemies are black and brown.
Okay, that was that video. It was just a short segment. But what I want us to take from that is that there's that elite group, and the elders talk on it all the time about the secret societies and the certain fraternities. The Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, who own everything and control and influence everything. And we are, as a collective, are just subjected to it. And they play us against one another because, once again, they controlled the media outlets. They control the food production, distribution, they control the job markets, you know, the wages and whatnot. So I just wanted y'all to hear that. And oh yeah, by the way, Brother Drew, if you haven't already opened the lines, go ahead and do so.
Okay.
Okay. And I hope you could hear that okay.
Oh, yeah, I heard
audio.
It.
All right. Okay.
Anybody want to get in with us on the broadcast, like press 1 on your phone, and we'll get – it's a chance for you to get in, speak, say whatever. See some brothers and sisters on the line. We ain't heard from in a while. Hey, the lines are open. Just press 1 if you want to get in. All right.
Okay, now I want to go to this second segment, which is, this is going to be Brother Umar. And the part of Brother Umar's speech that I want us to listen to is what he's saying about what's happening to the food, which is why I came up with this topic today that we're discussing. Now, give me just a second to dig this one out, and then we'll go back into, you know, just a regular discussion. Let me see. No, that's not it. Technology is a blessing and a curse, Brother Drew. Let me see where we are here. Brother Drew, I don't know if I got a lot of background noise going on or not. If I do, just let me know and I'll try to address it.
Okay.
Now, let me see if I can pull up. Okay, this is Umar. And this is what Umar said. And then I'll get off of these videos.
Right? We have middle class. You can become
okay,
middle class.
Okay, give me just a second.
Become middle class. But what they don't tell you is America rewrote the definition.
6 minutes, 20 seconds. Okay. Here we go. Okay, it's going to be. From that is that the time has come now that we as a people, if you want to survive and be healthy, if you want your children and the ones, your loved ones to be healthy, you're going to have to start using caution on what you consume, because there are people out there currently who are moving, making chess moves to completely dominate the masses of people who are not in that 1%. So we know that there's going to be casualties, because that's the way war works. But if you don't want those casualties to be your loved ones or yourself, then you the time is now. To start paying attention to these things that are happening, because big business has gotten so big. You know, the rich has gotten so rich that they're basically moving from freedom to control, moving from capitalism to socialism, which I heard someone say this week that the mother of socialism is capitalism. I don't know how true or false that actually is, but it seems as though if you listen to what the leaders, not just here in the United States, but around the world, are saying and doing, then you can kind of make that argument that, yeah, capitalism is leading to a lot of the things that are happening around the world, which are also resulting in the socialist movement that's also happening around the world in response to it. So let me kind of move off of that soapbox and get to one other point about the big business being so big, the water consumption. There's only so much water on the planet, and just like the digestive system of your own body, it's only so fast. There's only a speed of a flow rate where you can reproduce water. You know, once water's contaminated, and then the oil companies put it in underground. They put it underground where they don't use it anymore, but all the water gets recirculated and reintroduced back into the water system somehow by some means. So process has a rate, you know, where the earth can purify the contaminated water. Well, the big business or big businesses' rate of destruction is starting to get to a point where it's exceeding the planet's rate of purification. And if that's not addressed, then it's going to put people who aren't privileged. See, the people who are privileged, they're not going to suffer. And this is where we need to start looking forward and start thinking beyond ourselves. The people who are privileged, they're not going to suffer. They'll have fresh water privilege. That 1% won't suffer. That 99% will be exposed to the suffering. Now, I'm under the impression that the listeners to this show, the small number of listeners that we have in terms of all of humanity that listen to this show, the majority of those people fall in that 99% that I'm talking about. So we need to be smarter now while we can, and get the land, start growing, or if not growing individually, supporting the farmers who grow for the community. You know, but we need to be more mindful of the foods that we ingest, and then we need to start developing water purification systems or places where we store fresh water. You have to have some type of purification system that addresses the contaminants that are going to be in the water, because it's going to start making a lot of people like you and me ill. And that's just the truth of the matter. I mean, the water in the continent in the United States that flows from the northern boundary, by the time it reaches the southern boundary on its way exiting to the Gulf of Mexico or the Atlantic over there, that water has been recycled through cities. And I want you to think about that. It's been recycled through cities, all of their waste systems, all of the contaminants, everything that goes into it. And then they release it into a fresh stream after they recycle it. They release it into a fresh stream that takes it downstream, and then it enters into the next water reservoir, which is the water reservoir for the next community or state or city or whatnot, and then it's reused again. There's no way the water's pure. They can treat it all they want. It may not be killing people immediately. You know, the side effects of drinking the contaminants that are in there may not be causing or inflicting or suffering on the people immediately, but they are being exposed to contaminants because there's no way you can get every contaminant that's in that water out of that water. So purifying the water is not only important for the health of the people, it's going to be important for the survival of the people. So let's as a people start working on purification techniques and sharing them with one another, as well as growing our own food and supporting our own farmers. Okay, where am I in my notes? Excuse me, Brother Drew. Okay, I want to get on a Sebi horse, Dr. Sebi. I got great admiration for this individual because here's a man that looks like you and me. Here's a man who's self-educated, who challenged the medical community, the modern today's medical community with all the millions and billions, if not trillions, of dollars that flows through this industry. One individual with simple medicines that he legally can't, I don't even think legally you can call them medicines. They are herbs and foods that he crafted into compounds that heal people. Not that treated people, but that heal people. Now, I want you to understand. I want you to understand to the degree of which this man was successful against the medicine that we know today. He got the U.S. Supreme Court victories. Okay, I'm not going to go into that again. If you want to hear more about that, last month's show, and also the documentaries that I would refer you to on YouTube about Sebi. One of them is about 2 hours and 40 some odd minutes long. The first segment of that video is a testimony by the artist, I think they call her Lefi, which she would have been with the female group Salt and Pepper. I may be mistaken, the names and the groups and stuff. But she talks about him, and then 15 minutes after that, he gives a lecture, and that lecture is over an hour long. I would suggest that people interested in hearing Sebi in his own words telling his story view that documentary. And then the second documentary, which I'm going to wind up playing pieces of it, and that'll be the last videos that I share this evening. So I ask y'all to be patient and endure with me when I go into that process. I recommend you listen to it also because it's about a lot of the legal stuff that happens, you know, with that did happen with him. And it's important because the products of SEBI, the products that he manufactured, that he healed the people with, the products that the people used when they went to the Supreme Court to support him. These products are being manufactured, but you have to understand who's manufacturing them and who's not. So I unraveled that mystery somewhat, and I'm going to share that with you now. In that court order, there were certain names mentioned. One of the names is Maa, which was one of his wives, one or two, if I'm not mistaken. She's either the first or the second one. I think she was the second one. But her name is on that, the court order, or the findings from the court. But her name is on there, as well as the brand name, which is Fig Tree. So in the aftermath, after the smoke clears, you know, the brother we call Dr. Sebi, whose name is Alfredo Bowman, may he be in peace. There afterwards, there's this infighting. You know, a lot of people had interest in controlling this. Basically, this one man has created an industry. So you got these business minds who wanted control of that industry. They want, for obvious reasons, money. And they weren't in it for the healing of the people. They were in it for the money. And anyone who spent time listening to Sebi in his lectures, or, you know, I never had the honor of meeting the man personally, but what I can tell from watching his videos is that money was not like a primary focus for him. I would venture to say Sebi understood wealth, which on this show I have stressed that wealth and money, we need to learn to separate the two because they are not the same thing. I think Sebi understood wealth, and what I mean when I say that in his case is that, you see, when he won the United States Supreme Court victory, I'm going on record and saying that that victory was the biggest United Supreme Court victory in the history of United States Supreme Court victory. Now, let me tell you why. I know people saying, Gigi, what the hell are you talking about? When Ali won the victory against the U.S. Supreme Court for religious beliefs. That was a victory for people who believed the way he believed, not necessarily what he believed, you know, in terms of him not enlisting into the military, but in terms of their religious beliefs meaning so much to them that it was certain things that they could or could not do. That was a victory for all of those people. That's a big victory. Roe Wade, which is the abortion, and I hope it's Roe Wade because I hope I'm not quoting some other case, but Roe Wade was for women's rights. And it was, and let me go back, the Ali's were for all those people who had those religious beliefs in North America. Roe Wade, here we are again, it was for all women, probably a bigger number than the Ali victory. So in terms of the number of lives that it affected, even bigger than the Ali victory. Now let's look at Sebi's case. And this is why I say that Sebi's victory, I can't think of a U.S. Supreme Court victory that was bigger. Sebi won for all of humanity. His victory stretched far beyond the boundaries of the North American continent. He challenged medicine, these theories and practices in the medical community all over the world. And he gave healing to all of humanity. There's no victory bigger than that. Gandhi is loved by many, but he's hated in some other segments. Mother Teresa, same thing. The Pope himself, which is Catholic Christian, loved by the masses of people who believe in Jesus. But there's a lot of segments around the world that ain't rolling with that either. Sebi's victory touched everybody. Everybody has someone that they love that's suffering. And here's a man with the capabilities of healing the suffering. A man like that is the wealthiest man in the world. Not rich. I'm not talking money. I'm talking wealth. The wealthiest man in the world. That wouldn't be a plane ticket that that man would ever have to pay for. That wouldn't be a meal that that man would ever have to pay for. That wouldn't be a hotel room that that man would ever have to pay for. And he could go anywhere in the world and be greeted and be welcomed by all. Who would want to go up? Who would want to stop someone who can do good for all of humanity? The faces of the people. You know, when I say who, put faces with that. Who would want to stop a person like that who could help heal, help make a better way for all these lives who suffer, you know, who have fallen victim to some type of suffering, infliction? Who would want to stop an individual like that? What's the bad part about him that made him villainous? You know, like if this was an old Western And somebody gave me this analogy, and I think it's a good one. It's just as an old Western. Somebody got to wear the black hat. Somebody got to wear the white hat. I got to believe Seb is wearing the white hat. Who's wearing this black hat? Who's these guys with these black hats? So, man, here's someone who looks more specifically. Here's someone who looks like me and you, who's got our interests in mind. Comes up with diets for us. Comes up with foods for us. You know. And here's something that you have to understand: if he was still making false claims after he won the Supreme Court victory, they come after him. There's nobody chasing him after he's won the victories in Supreme Court. He can legitimately do what he said he can do. He can do it. There's testimonies all over the internet of people telling you that this man can heal people. So I did a little homework, and Seb has got a book out, and I'm going to share that information with the listening audience, because when I talk about eat to live, I'm talking about not so much what you eat. Just be careful of who you let feed you these things, because there's a agenda out there that's not in our interest, and we got to protect ourselves against that agenda. So give me just a second here to pull up this book. And oddly enough, I found this book on Walmart, of all places. Okay, this book is by Alfred Bowman, which is a.k.a. Dr. Sebi. And this book, if anybody's listening and want to write this down, it's called A Complete Guide to the Alkaline Diet. A Complete Guide to the Alkaline Diet. And the author is Alfred Bowman, which Dr. Sebi appears on the book. Okay, so that's, he wrote two, or he was trying to write two at the time of the documentary that is on YouTube. I'm told that he's wrote a few others, which I couldn't find any of those. And the manufacturer of the product, which is, to my understanding, being manufactured by MAA, who was named in the lawsuit, is Fig Tree. Fig Tree is still in business. And you can find them and their products at the following. And I'm going to give you the entire address as you enter it into the internet, and it'll come up. Go to https://. And then you got /// or //. I forget. The top is more to the right, and then the bottom is more to the left of the slashes. Brother Drew, do you know if that's //? But anyway, https://, and then this is one word. TheFigTreeHG.com, and I'm going to spell it out for you. T-H-E figtreehg.com. And then there's one more of those slashes behind it. So that's, let me give you the whole thing one more time. That's https://thegtreehg.com/. And that's where you can find the products, the original products, the products that the people had when they were up against the court order. And you know, they came and presented the case studies, and they won, and Dr. Sebi was awarded the victory. So I'm gonna give you all this challenge, and I'm not trying to be a smart ass. I'm just trying to say that we as a people, you know, just don't be guided around by your nose. Use the muscle that's between your left and right ear, and use your common sense, because all of us, that's the gift that we all were born with. No one has to teach you common sense. You learn common sense as you go from your experiences. What's hot and cold and up and down, what hurts and doesn't hurt, you know, on and on and on. What's right and what's wrong. What feels right and what feels wrong. So trust your gut, your intuition on these things, and let's eat to live, because we are in a fight for our lives, for our freedoms, and I hope we all had intentions on winning, and we can celebrate lives as brothers and sisters. I want to play these last two segments, and then I'm going to start wrapping it up, Brother Drew. There's a suspicion around, there's suspicions around the death of Dr. Sebi, and I just want you to hear the words of someone. Well, if you look at the video, you'll know who the someone is, so I guess there's no reason on. No, I'm going to leave that. Just hear these words from someone who loved me. And they spoke about the suspicion around his passing. So, Brother Drew, again, here we go with the audio. I hope y'all can hear this okay. And this will only be a few seconds.
But I wouldn't be able to attest that he died of pneumonia. Besides, we had a confession. And so, no, I don't believe that.
He had a confession?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
A confession as to, like, how he actually died? Or
as
someone...
to how someone participated in his death. But we don't want to speak things, times, things of that nature, because it's an ongoing investigation right now. And I'm very happy that that person came to us to let us know what their part was in it and why. And we appreciate that. But it's an ongoing investigation as to what happened. And no, it wasn't pneumonia.
feeling of from what was done, no doubt. But there was intrusive factors.
What were his last words to you on that phone call when he was locked up?
I know someone's trying to kill me, so I refuse to eat the food in here.
Okay. I'm going to leave that there. So, again, who would do harm to a man who's trying to do so much good in the world for all of humanity? And I'm going to leave y'all with that thought. So understand what we're up against, or there's no conscience to, or no length to where the people who want the control will go. There's just no length that they won't go to. And so finally, I'm going to let you hear the man himself. And then, Brother Drew, I'm going to move towards closing. And this, is, again, it only takes a few seconds.
Okay.
That love should begin with you. Once you love you, you love the whole world. It's easy. It's delicious to love everybody and everything.
No, well, that was short. But those were his words. And I quoted that last month somewhat. He just said that, you know, you can love the whole world. He was a different, you know, thinker and a force, a positive force or light in the world. And it's unfortunate that someone snuffed that light out. To us, you know, his existence is still, you know, in afterlife, he still exists. But to us, you know, that existence has been, that link between us has been cut off. So, Brother Drew, and to my brothers and sisters out there, I'd just like to, as I always tell y'all, to stay strong, stay true. Y'all choose what's right over what's popular. Until next month, Thursday the 10th, 10 p.m. And that's it tonight, Brother Drew. The closing or the final words are yours.
All right, y'all. We see everybody next month. Thanks for the ones who's online. We'd like y'all to participate in some verbal stimulation. You might have something that universe, the creator, to put on your mind that you need to say that might save or help inspire the next person. But until then, you know, you have to live with your own burdens. But until then, we'll see you next week. Come on, GG.
All right, brother.
Peace.
Peace.